But I think I if it doesn't work, we just say it may or may not work. Well, you know, it's something new, but it's I think if people like it when we do attempt to do things a little bit out of the ordinary.
Is that a definition of monetary reformers?
Yeah, monetary justice for all. Moral money. Speaking of morals, what about Delvin Coates, Mark?
Yeah, what about Delvin Coates?
Well, Joe dropped off, so I don't know.
What is he? Oh, he followed the cursor.
He's not on the line. He dropped off.
Maybe he'll come back on.
So, I can tell you about our conversation, or we can save it for the next meeting. Doesn't matter to me.
Oh, I want to hear it.
Sorry, Joe.
Sorry, Gary, you dropped.
Well, we talked. I'll try to be brief since I know I got to get off the call anyway. Talked to him last Wednesday. We talked for probably about 45 minutes. I did not go into the conversation trying to convince Reverend Coates of anything, that MMT was wrong or anything else like that, because I don't, for me, that's not the primary issue. I was more interested in what made him kind of move over to MMT as the basis of his movement, let's say. And so we had a good talk, and I asked him what made him move over to MMT. And in short, it was the briefest way I can say this is I think he felt comfortable being able to speak to academics that he could touch easily, meaning like the Stephanie Keltons and the people who, with his connections, could probably talk to on the phone. I don't think he fully understands MMT from that standpoint. I think he had said a couple of things when I asked him about, I kind of described MMT to him as just like, look, to me, MMT is just another pillar of our current monetary system. It's just, instead of increasing taxes or trickle down, they're just talking about increasing the debt. It's just that simple to me. And I told him that does the United States has the largest economy on the world. Can they increase the debt without causing inflation? I said, probably so. And can people get some benefit out of that? I said, probably so. And so I said, well, what's your ultimate goal? And I think for Reverend Coates, his ultimate goal is immediate, and what he can do for his congregation, and the people he sees every day that he works with, and the people who need health care, and the people who need college assistance. And I think for him, monetary reform, let's just say monetary reform as we see it, what I call real monetary reform, is so far off in the distance that that he can't, I don't think he sees any immediate, gratification is the wrong word, but any immediate benefit to the people who he tends to serve. And so for him, it's not really about, he's not a monetary reformer in the sense he wants to help people. And so he's a reverend in the traditional sense. He's trying to provide services and assistance to his congregation. Well, MMT can do about, let's just say that's MMT, and they agreed to borrow $4 trillion, increase the deficit by $4 trillion, or the debt by $4 trillion, and put that money into college education, healthcare, affordable housing. That would benefit his population immediately. So I think that's how he's looking at it. I did ask him a couple things, and I said, well, that's fine. I said, but that doesn't change what happens in poorer countries. And I just told him, for me, monetary reform is more about equalizing the world, not necessarily just the United States. And he said something that kind of let me know that he hadn't, First he said, well, you know, I've been talking to Spencer and blah, blah, blah. So that told me that a lot of it came from Spencer's kind of version of MMT. And MMT, in Spencer's paper, he tried to not combine MMT, but show how they were kind of doing the same good works. And so I told him directly that, you know, anybody who's trying to improve the lives of less fortunate is not my enemy. So I don't really have anything against MMTers. We may not agree on what the best solution is or the semantic arguments. And he also, he didn't like the semantic arguments either that are pushed back. So getting too far into definitions and what money is and whether or not money is debt and whether or not money is not debt, he's like, oh, that doesn't really mean that much to him for the total picture. And I think the last thing I would say is that he also thinks that the NEED Act is probably too rigid, and that we need to be more open, or I don't say, he didn't say we need to be more open. He said it was too concrete for him as far as some of the rigidity of it, and that, well, it has to be the NEED Act or nothing. You know, and and I've said this before, so I understood where it was coming from. It's like, to me, monetary reform is about giving nations the ability to create money as needed for public benefit. The NEED Act does that, but the NEED Act does a whole bunch of other stuff that does not necessarily have to be a part of monetary reform. It can. And so we talked about how monetary reform could take 1,001 different paths and it still be called monetary reform if nations get to create their wealth or their money is needed to help the population. So I told him, I cautioned him also. I said, I said, MMT cannot do everything you want it to do. Does increasing the debt cause inflation, hyperinflation? Obviously it doesn't, because, you know, our deficit has tripled or doubled in the past 10 years based on the recession, and we haven't had hyperinflation. So that theory kind of goes out the window. And I think that's what MMTers kind of hold on to, is that, okay, well, let's just borrow my money. But he honestly does not think the MMT is talking about borrowing money. I don't think he really understands that treasuries are debt. So some of the stuff, I didn't want to get into it because it was way too technical, and I don't think he really cares about technical speak. He's really more interested in how to help people. So that was kind of the gist of it. If you guys got some specific questions, I can kind of tell you if we hit on it or not, or what my other feelings may be about it. But that was kind of the gist of the conversation. It was about 45 minutes, and then, you know, said we'll talk again soon, and that's about it. Yeah, Lucille.
Howard Stack.
So my question is that if he thinks and agrees with MMT that they can fund everything good for his people, for our people who want funded through increasing the deficit.
Lucille, it's hard to hear you. It's hard.
You can't hear me?
There's some kind of waiver.
Echo.
Okay. The question is, it will be inflationary if the government creates money for the public good, while even if it's somehow sovereign money and not debt-based, and the government does that, but if it leaves the bank still able to create money for debt, that will be inflationary, extremely. And
That's the question, right? I mean, it hasn't been done, so it's hard to say that it definitely will. I think we're going off some theories. Like, people would say if it was 19 or 1919, but let's say 2005, and people say, well, if we keep adding to the debt, we're going to see inflation because of the interest and blah blah blah. But that's never happened. And so I think from MMT's standpoint, I think what they're saying is that all those predictions of hyperinflation have never happened, not just in this country, but in other countries that have had significant debt increases also. I'm not trying to argue for MMT, and I don't think, like I said, I don't think he has enough background in economics to argue that type of stuff either.
Well,
Go ahead, Howard.
I think inflation is how the banks make war on currencies.
Yeah, but like I said, I don't think he's looking at not looking at the system as the problem. He's looking at how he can help his constituents. That's pretty what's in front of him is how do I get people help? And so it's kind of like if I use an analogy and I said, hey, you know what? There are a lot of homeless people around here. I want to build an emergency shelter. And then somebody else says, well, that's not what's needed. What we need is housing, and they need jobs, and we need mental health and all this other stuff. Yeah, that may be a long-term solution to it, but I have the money to build an emergency shelter. You telling me I should leave them out on the street or build an emergency shelter? I think the reverend is saying you should build an emergency shelter because I can do that right now. I think that's the gist of why he's going, and he believes that. I told him that be careful, because if MMT falls, which it will, that you're going to be in the midst of that, and to be careful attaching yourself too closely to it. And I said, if anything, use it for short-term gain, but understand the monetary reform is in the background, real monetary reform is in the background, and keep your eyes open on that. Whether or not you feel like you have to do this right now or the immediacy of it, I understand you got to do what you got to do. So that was kind of how he just is not into, he's just not an economist. I think he tried to be one and tried to read and understand it. And I think when MMT came along, it just confused him. And so at this point, he's kind of like, well, I know we can borrow money. And I don't, like I said, he doesn't necessarily think it's borrowing money. So he has, and his website is, and I told him, I was like, well, your website seems to take all these promises of monetary reform, but you say you can do it with MMT. And I'm like, I don't think you can do everything you said on your website. MMT is not going to affect the whole world like you think it's going to affect the whole world. Now, because we're the largest economy, we might be able to borrow more money than anybody else. And so we can probably provide some benefit. You know, if you look at it, it's just like a household debt. If I'm making more money and I got the biggest household, I can borrow more than somebody else. And so I can get more cars and more stuff. So yeah, the United States can do that. But also, that doesn't help the world. It doesn't help war. It doesn't help poverty in other countries. So we talked about that stuff. I don't think he understands. And he's like, well, I don't understand all that stuff. And so you might need to talk to Spencer about that. And I was like, I've already talked to Spencer. I don't need to talk to him again. But so I hope that answers your question. We just didn't go there. I was not trying to debate him on the on MMT, because I know that's not how he really thinks. Right.
Yeah, no, it sounds like you did a great job.
Yes, thank you, Mark. Very nice.
Yeah. You know, I don't think he's definitely not trying to be enemies of monetary reform. I just think it's one of those things where, because he's kind of politically minded and he's a preacher and he hears horror stories every day, because that's what preachers do in inner city areas, I think he's trying to help the quickest way possible. That's what I took from the conversation.
Yep. Thanks, Mark.
Welcome.
Yeah.
Thanks. Thank you very much.
Oh, I have that recorded. Maybe I can make a copy of that little recording and send it to Joe somehow.
Sue Stack.
Or you can just call up Joe and go.
Joe likes to debate, though. He's going to want to. That would be a boring conversation with Joe. Joe's like, so did you tell him this? I'm like, nah, I didn't tell him any of that.
I think
didn't tell him about Saudi.
We are out of time. Can people